This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up. The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Welcome back to the darker side of the After Show with me, your host Sean, joined by co-host Lukey from ITR Boxing to discuss the episode that we've just heard, which is A Death in the Ring, the tragic tale of Ray Boom Boom Mancini versus Duk Koo Kim. A harrowing tale of two different people from two different countries and two different complete lives. Very contrasting stories between one another. And now the dust has settled, now the episode is out there, and now we've done our entire story on this from top to bottom, and the way we do our stuff here on the BTR Boxing Podcast Network. I'm genuinely interested now to know what the reaction is of yourself, Lukey, because when I bring you onto this show as the co-host, we do it on the basis that you get to listen to the episode prior to it going live, and you're able to then gather your own thoughts and feelings and opinions about what you think about these stories, what your own knowledge of them is, and your sort of historical thoughts and feelings are on it, and then in comparison to when you hear the story told in another format. And I'm just sort of interested to know what your initial reaction is to the story.
Extremely sad. And it's one of those things I relate to, because I'm hitting a point in my life where this is something that's very real for me, where you just have to accept things because there's no resolution. So I recommend for anyone that's out there, if you have a way of coming to terms or resolving things with people or getting those final memories with people, please do it. You know, I mean, just this last week, I lost a mentor to me, OG Bobby. And it's like, it just kind of went full circle with kind of where I've been thinking.
So the episode obviously consists of a little bit of a biography on Ray Mancini, but more importantly about Duk Koo Kim, who really not a lot of information was provided about in all the various articles throughout the years. And it was a difficult time for us to try and put together a real understanding of what Duk Koo Kim and his life was all about and his origins and upbringings. And I think that was one of the things that was most important to me and Johnston, was to make sure we highlighted that, because people remembered him for being the guy that essentially died there in the ring. Although he dies 5 days after the fight occurs, he essentially loses his fight in the ring in more than one way. And it is a harrowing tale, really, because it's a significant moment for both Ray Mancini, for boxing, for the family of Duk Koo Kim, and Ray Mancini's family, of course, and the implications of what happened here have been felt for such a long time, and this is why it fits the narrative of the darker side of boxing. This is why we wanted to retell this story in our way, because we felt like there was a lot of elements that sometimes documentaries don't always project across. And you know, when a documentary comes out about a certain individual or a certain story, it's always done from usually a limited perspective. Usually there's always a certain narrative behind it, and with us we've always tried to create both sides of the story and kind of give a picture, you know, good, bad and ugly of what maybe these characters and individuals are all about. And I felt like we did that with Dooku Kim and Ray Mancini. And it was pivotal because of the fact that this fight was the trajectory point of boxing changing from 15 championship rounds to 12 championship rounds, which was a significant moment in the sport. And many fighters that had fought in that era of the 15 round era that then transitioned into the 12 always maintained like how they always used to use them last three championship rounds to sort of, if they were a certain slower paced fighter, they'd use them last three championship rounds to really come on strong in the fight. So when this pivotal change happened, it was significant for a lot of fighters who had been conditioning themselves to a certain degree and then having to change their game plan and their styles to be able to adapt to this significant change in the sport of boxing. But going back to yourself, Lukey, and going back through this story, you talk about sadness and depression, and you talk a lot about how it, you know, can easily relate to certain elements of anybody's life. But hearing more information about Dooku Kim, hearing more of the stories surrounding him and his family and the origins and some of the mysterious things that sort of happened around him after he passed, the fact that the referee committed suicide in an unrelated incident, the fact that Dooku Kim's mother also committed suicide, I thought was very strange incidents that occurred after this moment.
And now I'm going to do what I do, where I completely go on a tangent that's unrelated, but it reminded me of a movie called The Poltergeist, where like there's so many tragedies that surround that movie if you look it up, because I believe The Poltergeist is the movie where they used real bones, and then it's like actors were tormented and multiple people died from the cast, and it's like it feels like this is one of those cursed fights where the outcome created several tragedies, not a singular tragedy.
It must have been difficult for the family of both of them, really, because, you know, during the course of the episode, we do, you know, tell the story of Ray Mancini's daughter and obviously having the issues at school, and then the fact that the issues at school being teased over that fight about the fact that her dad killed somebody in the ring led to him having to then expose his family, his children, to see what had actually happened. And, you know, for him, it was a very difficult moment, a moment that he doesn't really want to talk about that often. And we did reach out to him through another source, for a friend of the show, who said he didn't want to talk about it. I mean, understandably so. I mean, how many times has it kind of been hashed over? The last time he did something significant on this was when he did that documentary, The Good Son. And that was 10 years ago, nearly 11 years ago now. So it's not something he clearly wants to continue to talk about in his life. And it's something that I said in the episode myself, he's got to live with, no matter how many times he can put that to the back of his mind, it'll always be there. That moment will always be there, because it changed his life forever. As a boxer, he was never the same again. He was never the same. He was at the height of his powers, the peak of his powers, at only 21 in the ring when this fight took place. And all the speculation about where he was going to go was just out of this world. I mean, Sugar Ray Leonard had retired for the first time at this point as well, with a detached retina. So you were losing a superstar in Sugar Ray Leonard, and you were gaining one in Ray Mancini, and then this unfortunate incident occurs, and it just completely changes the complexity of the future for Ray Mancini, his family, and the family of Dooku Kim. And that's why it's just so significant, and why we really wanted to do this story in its entirety and not just sort of in parts, which is what we found some people had done previously. So going back to the career of Ray Mancini then, we always ask this age-old question about what if, and the whole what if scenario around Ray Mancini is, what if this didn't go down the way it did? Would Ray Mancini have gone on and been even more successful in his career?
I mean, woulda, coulda, shoulda. Like, Adrian Broner doesn't make life decisions. Would he have been the great of his era? I think that it's hard to separate any outcome when this type of tragedy happens. And look at a modern equivalent from Ohio. Charles Conwell had a tragedy with Patrick Day, and he should be fighting for a world title, but for some reason that hasn't happened. I think that when these type of things happen, it sadly overshadows a fighter.
So with this particular story, then, we spoke about the poignant moments of both of their boxing careers. And I think what I was sort of surprised to learn about was the really poor upbringing of Duck Coot Kim. And I mean, I probably shouldn't have been surprised in some ways, because he was coming from a part of the world which, you know, has its really sort of poor areas of it, like some do. And I think the sort of the poverty line that he was living on, and boxing being his escape, was quite a... It was a tale that I really enjoyed hearing about. It was a story that I really enjoyed hearing about. And the extracts from his own diary were really compelling, about someone who was fighting that uphill battle to try and make it to the top of the sport, of something that they enjoy doing, something that they feel they're good at, and something that is going to provide them and the family a better future. And what was, I think, more difficult to stomach throughout the course of it was, you know, knowing where his family was at the time that he passes away. The fact that, you know, his wife, a young Mia, is pregnant with his son, and his son would never obviously get to meet the father. And, you know, it was quite upsetting as a father myself. You know, it's upsetting to sort of think about, you know, the prospect of not being able to be there for your children. And I think that must have been a difficult thing that the son grew up with all those years. And then what we tried to do was then present the story in effect of when they do meet up all those years later, and young me and the son do meet up with Ray Mancini and his family, and they have these sort of really nice, heartfelt, warm moments that kind of, you feel like they kind of put a close to the chapter of that book. But I just think it's one of these moments in the sport that no matter how many times you try and sort of put closure to it, there'll never really truly be closure behind it, because it'll be something that people just have to learn to live with, but will never get over.
It's like what I was talking about earlier, how there's some things for some people, not all people, where you just have to accept that it'll never be okay. You're never going to get that moment, and you're never going to get complete solace, and you just have to understand it. And it's an awful feeling. And I, once again, I say, dealing with this somewhat right now, as I am, really try not to ever be in that position, because it's just, it can eat you alive.
And what would you advise people to try and do, you know, if they're in a position like this, where they've got these moments, like, what do you do? How do you move forward from it? Do you ever move forward, or do you learn to live with it?
I mean, honestly, like, every single night I live with regret, and then when a tragedy happens, it's way worse. So it's like, I probably never will come to terms with it, but it will just become more of a familiar feeling. So the longer it lasts, the more it's like, okay, that's more of a normal feeling, but it never gets better.
And I think that is something that's probably really relatable for this episode, isn't it? I mean, with you in particular, like, you're referring to your own personal life, and you know, if I'm looking at my own personal life and I'm bringing that into the equation, you know, I've not been in this situation like Ray Mancini went through in 1982, but every one of us has to go through life and experience death. You know, it's the loved ones, it's the older generations of your family that you lose. And sometimes that can come in generations that are past you as well. You know, some people are that unfortunate that they lose younger ones than them in the family, whether it be brothers, sisters, children. You know, it's awful. It's an awful topic to discuss, but I think it's a topic that has to be discussed, because it really relates well to this particular episode, and you know, the thoughts and feelings of trying to get through life after such a tragic event takes place. It's hard. It's hard to go through them moments and not think about them on a regular basis. And I think for someone like a Ray Boom Boom Mancini, who was trying to and did achieve what his father set out to do years before him, which was to become world champion, you know, when he eventually achieves it, he doesn't get to really enjoy that success for very long, because before he knows it, he's in this fight. And the biggest respect to him for openly sitting there and saying, look, I didn't overlook this guy. I really didn't overlook this guy. I knew what I was getting into. But yet, the media at the time didn't really know who Duck Coot Kim was or what he was about. And this is 1982. You know, it's not like we had YouTube. It's not like we had computers to be able to search the internet for videos of Duck Coot Kim. Back then, you know, you were lucky if you could get a VHS or a Betamax tape with this information about this fighter on, or any sort of previous fights of this, because they didn't really have the same technology then. So it must have been, as a fighter going into a fight like that with this complete unknown quantity into it, it must have been difficult. And then to see what happens in the aftermath of it, like Ray Mancini goes off and he's being sort of, Frank Sinatra brings him into, I think he's in a club, and Frank Sinatra brings him into the club and he's introducing him, and he's a big celebrity at this point and everybody loves him, and what's going on behind the scenes is Duck Koo Kim's in hospital and he's dying, and Ray Mancini, you know, is not because he wanted to do that, but because he was being thrusted that way, you know, he's going into all these events, and then people close to him are telling him, like, look, you know, this is not looking good, Ray, this guy's going to die. And then eventually dies 5 days later. And then it just changed the life of Boom Boom Mancini. It really did. He can tell every conversation he has about this. It's there. You know, you can just see it lingering in the back of his mind, and it's just coming to the forefront. And I'm just wondering, like from your perspective, like knowing the sport like as well as you do, like how does a fighter ever come back from something like that?
I mean, you don't, right? You don't really, like, death is a tricky subject, right? Because I've been thinking about this, and death is a tricky subject because there's no comfort to it. It's unknown. When my spirit passes on, is it just one long dream and nothing happens beyond that? It's uncomfortable. There's no way for me to comfort a young person.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
This episode is brought to you by CarMax. CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because CarMax believes you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car they sell has CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure, with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive. CarMax. The way car buying should be. Start shopping now at CarMax.com.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. You might say all kinds of stuff when things go wrong, but these are the words you really need to remember. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. They've got options to fit your unique insurance needs, meaning you can talk to your agent to choose the coverage you need, have coverage options to protect the things you value most, file a claim right on the State Farm mobile app, and even reach a real person when you need to talk to someone. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Other than just to be there for him. And the longer I'm alive, the closer I'm to that. And this week I felt that, right? This week I felt that. I've been feeling it. I mean, shoot, I lost 15 people in 2020, you know? And it's like, there's many different ways, but I think if you have any form of compassion, it really eats at you. So I understand for Boom Boom not wanting to talk about it, because there's tons of stuff I prefer to not talk about. So I get it. I don't think you do come back from it. I think you have to be someone that can channel your anger and want people to feel the anger you feel. Because I think the closest I can explain how I feel is, it's like I'm Bruce Banner, where it's like I'm normal. And then if someone triggers all that frustration, it's like it sets me off. And the way I cope with that is I have to not bring any of that up, so I can regulate it in that form.
The difficulty with like Ray Mancini is everything that he achieved prior to that fight, just for me, like, kind of gets brushed aside a little bit, because, you know, people then just remember him, unfortunately, for this particular moment. And I think that's one of the things, like when we did the early beginnings of the episode and we tried to talk about the background of Ray Mancini and his family and everything that his family were trying to achieve, and the difficulties in Youngstown and the change, and, you know, economically and jobs wise how things were changing there, it was really important for us to set a lot of context to it, because, you know, like when you look at a fighter who gets to a certain point of their careers, and then they're getting all these accolades behind them, and people then, you know, sometimes fighters kind of forget where they come from sometimes, and then they end up, you know, sort of not really staying true to the roots. But I've always found that Ray Mancini over the years has always been someone that stayed true to his roots, and whilst this fight has defined him and what's happened has defined him, he hasn't let it ruin his life and his career subsequently. You know, he's very active still and involved within boxing and boxing media, and it's good to see, you know, that his great mind as an individual is still there to sort of give advice and opinions and be able to there to be a pundit for certain shows. And, you know, he's a guy that I think, whilst he'll be living with that pain for the rest of his life, and I'm totally adamant on that, and I think your conversation on this episode is kind of testament to what you've been through as a person. I think it's about how you have to manage that in a way, and how you have to kind of compartmentalize it a little bit to try and move things in a different direction within your life. And I think that's kind of how he's had to go through his boxing career following that incident, and then that's how he's had to then go through the rest of his life following that incident. And it's like his children then get associated with it because of the sins of their father, so to speak. And it just seems like one of them things that no matter what happens in the sport, no matter what happens in history of the sport, you know, it's something that will be a forever moment in boxing. And it was why we wanted to do it, and it's why we wanted to bring light to it. But it was also important that we didn't forget about those that were involved. You know, Duk Hoo Kim is remembered for being the guy that died in the ring, as opposed to being remembered for a guy that was actually seemed to be a really compassionate human being who'd come from a difficult upbringing and essentially clawed his way to the top. And that's the story that we wanted to tell. And I hope that, you know, you guys listening to this after show have already listened to the main show. You've kind of got that from it. It was about really sort of looking at the compassionate side of things for us. So, you know, coming down to a bit of a summary of the episode then, Lukey, like, it really resonates with you strongly because of your own personal feelings and your own personal incidents outside of the ring. But trying to take yourself out of that moment for just a moment, like, what do you sort of look at with this story and its impact on the boxing world?
Twofold. What I take out of it is words have power, because a lot of Kim's build up to this fight was like using the word kill or be killed, live or die. And it really made me think about how, like, our words truly have more power than we think they have. I think the lasting impression on the boxing world is the sport was forever changed. And in many ways, people somewhat shame Boom Boom Mancini. One of the best fighters of his era kind of had a stigma around him to the point where, as you said, his career never was what it should have been. And I think that's why when a guy like Kelly Pavlik came, why a Mancini was so excited. Another Youngstown, Ohio fighter coming out. And it's kind of like the boxing version of Len Bias's story in basketball, where it's just truly sad. It's just an American tragedy.
It's a tragedy in America. It's a tragedy in boxing. And I hope that people have listened to the episode and have been able to take away the sort of compassionate side of it, as I mentioned before. And I hope you've been able to take away more of an understanding and an education on Duk Hoo Kim, because that is important, that there wasn't only one person involved in this, that Duk Hoo Kim was a man, he was a human, he had a family, he had a son on the way, he had his future in front of him, and then this unfortunate incident occurred. And it's also about highlighting the dangers of the sport and how it only takes one punch sometimes to have this concussive effect. And, you know, we've seen tragedies happen over the years. It doesn't have to happen that often statistically, but when it does, it's hard. And then people look at the sport and go, this sport should be banned, this sport shouldn't be happening. But then statistically, you look over the years of the amount of people it's happened to, it's very, very minimal in percentage in comparison to the amount of fights that actually take place. I think this was that moment that it's horrible to say this, but it's like it needed to happen to change the sport in a better way. And I hope that Duk Hoo Kim's sacrifice was that moment that changed it, and it did make things better. I mean, seemingly for me, it in some regards, it did, because it changed the rounds, it changed the impact of fighters and the way they'd have to train. It had changed the regulations, the medical side of things with the sport. But unfortunately, it only seems to happen every time something bad happens in the sport. There's not a lot of proactivity that goes on. It's always reactive moments like that that make things change. I mean, it's happened in the UK a couple of times with fighters that have had the same incident. Nowhere near as at the level as Ray Boom Boom Mancini, but it has happened here in the UK on a couple of occasions. There was a fighter that fought Chris Eubank Jr. a few years ago, Nick Blackwell, and he had a sustained punishment throughout the course of the fight against Eubank Jr. and ended up in a coma. He ended up recovering from it, but because of his need and love for this sport, decided to go back in for sparring when he felt things had got better, and ultimately injured himself again. Now, that's a different scenario than what we're talking about in this episode, but it just highlights the dangers of this sport and how moments like this will always change the sport forever. And this one was probably the most significant one of the lot. And that's not discrediting any of the fighters that have passed away recently. But for me, it's a significant moment. It's a historical moment. It's a moment that changed boxing forever. And it was really key for us to want to tell a compassionate story about two individuals that were just great human beings.
Yeah, it's hard. It's hard because I just wish the guy didn't have to die. And I know I know Boom Boom didn't want that to happen either. It's just hard to, deal with the outcome and the result. So the result of the sport being safer, that's great, but just absolutely stinks that the guy died.
Yeah, I agree. It's certainly a harrowing moment and a difficult moment, and deepest sympathies always go out to those that have lost loved ones in general, but in this sport even greater, because we forget how much these guys are putting themselves at risk every single time they step into that ring, every single time. And well, sometimes you can be overly critical of a fighter, you don't realize that actually, you know, every time these guys go in, they're putting themselves on the line, and it only takes one punch in the wrong place at the wrong time, and that's it. It's good night Vienna for them. And it's harsh. It's a harsh reality of the situation. And it shouldn't take something like this to create change. And I think that's one of the things me and Johnston talked about in one of our recent episodes, The Boxing Wishlist, where we talked about making boxing safer. How can they do it? And coming up with ideas of how to do it. And I think this is a proactive conversation that needs to happen more often. But it doesn't. It only happens when something like that happens. And that's the shameful part of the sport. And that's the seedy part of the sport that just doesn't really cater to the safety of boxers all the time when it needs to. And I'm not saying like the governing bodies, the control, the organisations don't do it, because they do. They have things in place to do that. But there's definitely more that could be done. There's always more that could be done to create better safety in this sport. And I think this episode, whilst it goes back through a historical story, it certainly brings a lot of emotion back to a time of when this has happened in more recent times.
I mean, the crappy thing about boxing is nothing ever changes unless money's affected. So if the money's not affected, the human rights, the equitable treatment, it never comes to light unless it impacts people's money. And that's kind of the sad truth of boxing. It'll happen time and time again.
Well, with that in mind, it's been a quite harrowing episode and a sad one and a difficult one for you, Lukey, with it being so personalised to yourself. And I appreciate you coming on and obviously speaking to us and co-hosting this episode, a more difficult one for you, to talk about the story of Ray Mancini and Duck Coot Kim. And for those that enjoyed the story and the way the story was told, thank you for listening. Thank you for downloading. Thank you for tuning in. And, you know, if you've got any thoughts, feelings and opinions on that, and obviously this show and anything that Lukey, you may have said in this show, anything that they can relate to with you, please just get in touch at the Darker Side of Boxing podcast, darker_side_pod on Twitter, or you can get in touch with Lukey at Lukey Boxing, and you can find his channel, ITR Boxing. He does a lot of great stuff on there. So please make sure you are subscribing and tuning into everything that he's doing as well. Some some great stuff, some great synopsis of shows, and some great analysis of big fight reactions and everything that you do on there. It's great stuff, and it's really appreciated you being the co-host of this show. And I hope everybody listening has enjoyed the episode, even though it's a darker one, a difficult one. I hope you've enjoyed it, and I hope you can take something away from it and sort of implement it into your own lives and sort of realise the compassion side of what we've talked about here today. But with that in mind, Lukey, big thank you to you, big thank you to everybody listening, and we hope you've enjoyed this episode of The Darker Side of The After Show.
Podcast Network.